content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Croner from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Let's start off today with a few giggles. Laughter is the best medicine. A mother returned from the supermarket and handed her young son the box of animal crackers he had begged her for. As she unpacked the rest of the groceries, the boy spread the crackers all over the kitchen table. "What are you doing?" the mom asked. "I'm looking for the seal," said the boy. "It says you can't eat these if it's broken." My body is a wonderland, but the weird one Alice fell into. "I used to be addicted to hokey pokey, but I turned myself around. The doctor gave me some cream for my skin rash. He said I was a sight for psoriasis." That's terrible. "I went to see my doctor about my short-term memory problems. The first thing he did was make me pay in advance. Tonight's forecast, dark. Continue dark tonight, turning to partly light in the morning." A priest was looking for something when his friend walked in. "I'm meeting some members of the laity," the priest said, "and I can't find my collar." "My, my," his friend replied. "A lay date and a collar short." A real plot twist. The author of The Prince thought it to be better to be feared than loved, and instructed youngsters to be cunning and cutthroat. Here's how Mr. Machiavelli would review these more recent children's titles. Where the Wild Things Are. Max could have been a great and terrible ruler, but he allowed loneliness to creep into his heart and gave up a position of power. I give this opus 3 out of 5 stars. Guess How Much I Love You. Love should be used only for deceitful means, and little Nut Brown Hair understands that his father's love can be used to manipulate his actions. Charlotte's Web. Charlotte should have drained that pig for all he was worth. Instead, she made the mistake of choosing to have empathy for the weak hog. Pathetic. I award this book a one-week dying star. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. The ambitious young caterpillar eats his way through bigger and more difficult obstacles and emerges more powerful than ever. 5 glorious stars for this one. The Giving Tree. The boy uses fraud to deceive the tree into giving him more and more of itself. The end always justifies the means. Another 5-star champion. News from the world of medicine. Stroke recovery. Nerve stimulation can help. Stroke survivors have 50-60% chance of losing arm function. In addition to physical therapy, some patients with these symptoms are benefiting from a treatment called vagus nerve stimulation. The procedure requires implanting a small box-type device under the skin on the chest. When activated using a wireless transmitter, the device stimulates the left vagus nerves, which run from the abdomen to the brainstem. Scientists think this type of artificial stimulation helps to strengthen certain neural circuits, make it easier for the brain to relearn lost movements. Is work shortening your life? When COVID-19 pandemic sent U.S. office workers home to get their jobs done, many say they previously didn't have that option. Now, 71% of employees who say they can do their jobs from home are actually teleworking, but there is a downside. Working from home can lead to overworking as it blurs the line between professional life and home life. The World Health Organization cautions that regular working more than 55 hours per week is associated with a 35% higher risk of a stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease. This compared to maintaining boundaries around work and clocking 35 to 40 weekly hours. So establish start and stop times for work from home days and share them with colleagues to help keep your hours in check. Keep smartphones away from cardiac implants. Some smartphones, including the iPhone 12, contain strong magnets. Unfortunately, these magnets can temporarily suspend the normal operation of many pacemakers and cardiac defibrillators. While these life-saving implants continue working normally once they're back outside the magnetic field, in the meantime, they won't necessarily send the electrical pulses or shocks needed if a heart starts to beat too quickly, slowly, or irregularly. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration advises people to keep electronic with strong magnets at least 6 inches away from medical implants and suggests carrying them in a hip pocket instead of a breast pocket. And since I have a pacemaker, I definitely do that. That was one of the warnings I give you. A new way to slow prostate cancer. Healthy eating habits may slow the progression of prostate cancer, preliminary evidence suggests. This news is especially good for patients who choose to monitor their disease rather than opt for immediate tumor removal surgery, an invasive procedure that can cause sessional dysfunction and loss of bladder control. and a Texan study of patients with tumors that weren't yet large or aggressive enough to make surgery a strict necessity. Those whose meals resembled the Mediterranean diet, high in fruit, vegetables, legumes, grains, and fish, and low in red and processed meat, had a lower risk of cancer progression. Eating out frequently is a health hazard. A new study led by the University of Iowa, people who ate in restaurants food twice a day had a 49% higher risk of mortality at any point in time, compared with people who dined out less than once a week. Previous studies might help to explain why. One of them, a 2015 analysis published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, purports that even though some establishments provide healthy food, restaurant fare is usually less balanced than home-cooked meals. It tends to contain more calories, saturated fat, cholesterol, and sodium, even when it's not fast food. And while it's hard to know exactly what cooks are putting into your food in a restaurant, at home you're aware of your meal's ingredients and their proportions. Quotable quotes. When you focus on the past, that's your ego. When I focus on the future, it's my pride. I try to focus on the present. That's humility. Giannis Antetokounmpo, athlete. I like to refer to my social circle as boutique. My friends are all unique and high quality and serve good food. But more than that, they teach me things about the world and myself that I couldn't learn anywhere else. Dan Levy, actor. Love and a cough cannot be concealed, even a small cough, even a small love. Anne Sexton, poet. Compassion is the breakdown of all barriers between us, a heart-to-heart bonding. Your pain is my pain. It's mingled and shared between us. Bob Wells, writer. There are no guilty pleasures when it comes to reading. Will Self, writer. The nicest place in America. Take a trip with us around the country to places where good people are making good things happen. The top honor goes to Quality Inn in Kodak, Tennessee. And there's a picture of it here. It's out in the wilderness, out in the woods, actually. It's a big red brick and orange brick building, and it's got an older building right next to it that looks like it's also a hotel of some sort. The green Quality Inn sign was a beacon for those seeking shelter from a rare Tennessee snowstorm. For Michelle and James Hundley, it was a moment of truth. Ahead of them lay a snowy, icy road. Behind them, their cold, unheated house. In the valley below, a warm, welcoming room at the Quality Inn in Kodak, Tennessee. All the Hundleys had to do was get there. And Sean Patel, the hotel owner, would do the rest. And there's a picture of Sean. He's a middle-aged man, obviously of East End descent. Got the typical dark circles under his eyes, but a big smile. In the freezing days to come, the Hundleys would become a part of Patel's extended family, and his modest hotel would become their temporary home. They'd be warm, they'd be fed, and they wouldn't be asked to pay anything they couldn't afford. So would dozens of others just like them. But first, there was a little matter of getting past the snow. Winter storms aren't unheard of in eastern Tennessee, but the one that hit Kodak in December 2020 proved historic. People across the region fell asleep on Christmas Eve, dreaming of a white Christmas. But the holiday brought dark clouds and plunging temperatures. As the wind picked up, trees fell, taking down utility lines. Snow blew, pipes froze, and power and phone service went out. More than 44,000 Tennesseans would wake to find themselves celebrating Christmas without electricity. The Hundleys were among them. The couple live on 35 acres on the edge of the Great Smoky Mountains. The storm had quickly left their house freezing and dark, and for two nights they slept in their truck. But after 58 hours without power, they'd had enough. It was time to move to warmer quarters. The only problem? There was no room at the neighboring hotels, at least not for local residents like the Hundleys. That's a familiar story around Kodak, where tourists are the lifebloods of the economy, and where hotel signs reading "no locals" are not unheard of. Kodak is a tiny town in Sevier County, nestled in a narrow valley southeast of Knoxville. Once known mainly for logging and farming, the rural area now relies on visitors who come to the area drawn to the nearby Great Smoky Mountains National Park or the Dollywood Amusement Park. Dozens of hotels line the highways. Most aren't cheap, and rates climb during the holidays. But many hotels also had a policy against renting rooms to local residents, concerned they might use the rooms for things they didn't want to do in their homes, even for some criminal activity. Even in the face of a massive storm that knocked out power in the region, these hotels refused to lift their no-locals rules. Facing a double whammy of high prices and discrimination, their truck was looking like the Hundley's only option. That is until Michelle stumbled upon a Facebook post from the nearby Quality Inn. Hello, neighbors. If you are affected by the power outages, please call us at the Quality Inn Kodak, right off exit 407. We will take care of you, Patel wrote on the hotel's page. We are not charging the usual holiday or weekend rates. We had a few cancellations, and we have allocated those rooms to help out. Not only would the hotel not lock out locals or use emergency as an excuse to price gouge, Patel promised to keep rates down, eventually locking them as low as corporate regulations would allow, $25 per night. It was the lifeline of the Hundleys needed. They called the Quality Inn and were promised a room if they could get there safely. James pointed their truck down the mountain road and navigated the icy roads in the 45 treacherous minutes later. The Hundleys spotted the green Quality Inn sign rising from West Dublin Valley Road, across from the Boot Barn and Mountain Motorsports. And there's a picture of the staff, of the whole staff of the hotel. And there's also a picture of Patel and his son Rudy, who looks like he's probably about 12 years old, opening packages of frozen food. The couple unloaded their overnight bag and stepped through the doors into the hotel lobby, where they experienced the first real warmth, physical and emotional, they had felt in days. They greeted us and asked how they can help, even after we checked in, said Michelle. We didn't have anything. We couldn't afford anything. Sean didn't have to do what he did. But if you ask Patel, 37, he'd like to say that he did have to. An immigrant born in India, Patel, who was born a Hindu but attended a Christian school, believes in the concept of karma, a spiritual principle held by Hindus and Buddhists that those who do good to others will receive good in return. It's an idea that aligns nicely with the traditional values of his new home in the American South. Patel came to America in 2004 and settled in Tennessee, drawn by its friendly reputation. I saw how much people helped each other in the South, and it got to me, he explains. It's not always about money. An aunt taught him the ins and outs of his new country while piling food on his plate at mealtimes and giving him a bed to sleep in each night. Soon Patel was on his own two feet, earning a degree from the University of Tennessee, running hotels to support his wife and son, and riding his motorcycle along the roads in and around Knoxville for fun. Along the way, he never forgot how he'd started. I had a family who took me in, Patel says. So as the snow flew that Christmas, Patel knew his neighbors would need someone to take them in. As the freeze set in, he turned to Facebook. We will take care of you, Patel wrote. It was Christmas Day when the Hundleys were still sleeping in their truck when Carol and Paul Williams fortuitously saw Patel's post. The couple had started their Christmas by driving into Kodak, but found themselves cold, stranded, and worried. It was like a blizzard, said Carol. I called my neighbor and she said not to come home. They tried getting back, but saw car after car snuck in the snow. Utility workers urged them to turn around, so the Williamses started looking for a place to stay. Like the Hundleys, at first they had no luck with area hotels, either no rooms or none for them, thanks to the no-locals restrictions. A friend of the Williamses spotted Patel's Facebook post, and soon the couple were hauling down the highway when Patel texted to make sure they were okay. Carol wasn't sure what they'd find when they arrived. I was a little bit wary, she recalls, but after all, $25 is pretty cheap for a hotel room. But you needn't have worried. We felt safe the minute we walked in, Carol says. They rolled out the red carpet. The room was clean and warm. They could stay for as long as they needed, the staff told them. When the couple went downstairs for breakfast that morning, they found a smiling, bespectacled man offering them hot coffee. It was Patel. Sean was standing there in the dining area, and it was like, you guys going to stay for breakfast, Williams says? From that day on, Patel's Quality Inn was packed. Between Christmas and New Year's, all 60 rooms were booked, with as many as 8 or 9 family members sharing a room. The weather may have made a mess of the holidays for many in the area, but inside the inn, the Christmas spirit was alive and well, with Patel playing Santa, giving the gifts of electricity, water, warmth, and friendship. By day, the halls filled with locals, tourists, and utility workers who stopped by to chat and sip hot coffee. By night, strands of lights twinkled quietly among the lobby's handmade nativity displays. Patel and his guests called it their Christmas village, complete with tiny houses, a chugging train, and Santa's sleigh hidden among the little trees that Patel's 7-year-old son Rutka, a.k.a. Rudy, helped him set up. And as the near year approached, with hundreds of area homes still without power, Patel let everyone know they had a friend out on by the highway. Looking for a room? He'll try to supply one. In need of a shower? Bring your towels, he wrote on Facebook. And guess what? It's free. As residents made their way to Dublin Valley Road, the Facebook testimonials poured in. It is a blessing to know that in the midst of darkness, there are still caring, thoughtful people that help in the time of need, wrote Shelley Renee. We spent last night there, posted Brian Holloway. First time since early Christmas Eve we had power and running water. Thank you so much. Sean and the staff are amazing, wrote April Fetzer-Smith. They have personally helped my family when we were stranded in the Smoky Mountains. No one who knows Patel was surprised by his generosity. Harold Hines lives in an extended stay residence Patel owns, just behind the Quality Inn. Hines landed there 4 years ago after losing his business. When he was down and out, says Hines, Patel welcomed his family with open arms. You will never know hungry, even if you don't have food, says Hines. Sean has made this a home. I frequently ask him to dial it back a bit because he spends so much of his own money and energy to help others, says Patel's friend Steve Smith, who nominated the Quality Inn as the nicest place in America. But he has such a big heart. I know he will only give more. And he has. Patel owns a second hotel, the Segovia Lodge in Junction, Texas, near San Antonio. When a similar freeze hit there in February 2021, Patel let his guests stay and eat free all week. And when the Segovia property lost power, too, stranded truckers kept the fire in the lobby fireplace going all night while guests slept on the lobby floor. It wasn't about who was black, white, Democrat, Republican, COVID or no COVID. Everyone was a family, says Shelley Shirley, manager at the Segovia. I've never wished it something like Sean. Today, things there and in Kodak are back to mostly normal. But the next time there's trouble, the residents of Sevier County know where they'll find a safe haven. It helped a whole lot of people who didn't have anything, Michelle Hundley says of Sean Patel. He was the only one who stepped up to help the locals. Sun and Moon Ranch in Lexington, North Carolina. Sharing the sun and moon. Another nice place in America. Shannon Hearn's oldest dream was to own a ranch. From the moment she was first placed in the saddle at age two, she had always felt most comfortable on horseback. And there's a picture of her. She's got glasses, and she's standing next to a very beautiful brown and white horse. Looks like a pinto, with her hand on the saddle. In February 2020, her dream finally came true when she and her partner in farm, Corey Conley, opened the gates of Sun and Moon Ranch. Then, just a month later, the country spiraled into a COVID-19 lockdown. Soon Hearn's vision began to grow into something bigger. With 8 acres of pasture and an abundance of sunshine and fresh air, there was no safer way for frightened neighbors to get out of the house. The ranch, Hearn realized, should be for everybody. It didn't feel right to be suddenly protective of what I thought was being a good steward of, she says. Sun and Moon Ranch is nestled between the Appalachian Mountains and the Atlantic Coast in Lexington, North Carolina. Sure, you can sign up for riding lessons or board your horse, but you can also drop by to play with the chickens, goats, and dogs. Wander through the vegetable garden, bake bread and crab legs during the farm's low country boils, when pots of shrimp, scallop, sausage, corn cover the length of a newspaper-covered picnic table, or join the younger ranchers playing on the big pile of freshly dug dirt. Hearn, a digital marketer by day, now saw the ranch as something more than a business. It would be a place the community could call home. As the pandemic deepened, locals began to gather there, not just for the free cookouts and bonfires, but for the chance to put up a hammock when they wanted some peace. RVs and campers were welcome to pull in for a quiet night after a day on the road. I had a vision for the space being therapeutic for whoever the universe sent our way. Horses are people, said Hearn. One of those people, now 15, was born without fingers on one hand. His grandmother brought him to Sun and Moon for riding lessons. Learning to control a horse with one hand helped him better manage his disability, and he grew closer to his grandmother over their shared love of horses. Plus, a special bond with two of Hearn's 18 rescued horses, Annie and Honey, was a real leg up, confidence-wise. There is something empowering about controlling a 1,000-pound animal, and I believe this is especially true for children or anyone who struggles with any sort of self-esteem issues, Hearn says. Another boy became selectively mute after being bullied because of his autism. Lesson by lesson, Hearn watched him slowly come out of his shell. Taking the reins literally helped him to do so in his daily life, too. I could see how the empowerment of riding was helping him feel once again in control of the world around him, says Hearn. He went from not answering questions to literally talking our ears off. And there's no nicer sound, especially when answered by the affectionate whinny from a four-legged beast friend. Manton, Michigan, another nice place, a winter wonderland. On Christmas Eve 2020, fire trucks rushed to Chittle Home in the sleepy little town of Manton, Michigan. It wasn't because of a Christmas nightmare, far from it. Winters can be long and tough this far north. Had the COVID pandemic, and Scott Chittle knew something had to be done to bring some cheer to the 1,555 people who call Manton home. Chittle, 51, lives in a big yellow house, and there's a picture of the house, with his mother and two children. When he was three, his father built an ice skating rink in their backyard, where Chittle and his buddies would spend endless hours over the coming years playing hockey. That, thought Chittle, is what the children in this community need. One problem. Chittle had no clue how to build an ice rink. Luckily, there's YouTube. Soon after watching a tutorial, he was smoothing out a 3,000-square-foot section of his yard, ordering a massive tarp large enough to cover it, and burying lumber to create the walls. Now I needed the ice. That's where those fire trucks came in. It took 12 of them to spray enough water to fill the plot. Then he waited for Mother Nature to do the rest. It wasn't long before Chittle's backyard became a Manton hotspot. The smell of grilled hot dogs and burning firewood filled the air. Lights strung over the ice added sparkle, and laughter and shrieks of children playing hockey or performing figure eights made their parents smile. But the cost didn't stop with Chittle. When word got out that he'd spent $1,400 out of his own pocket to build his rink of dreams, neighbors, strangers, and businesses pitched in to $3,000 to cover the cost and more. For Chittle, the ice rink always was more about kids and blowing off some steam. It was about surviving even the darkest time. I want to show the rest of the world, says Chittle, what a little effort, the best intention, and a community can do. Not only for others, but for the soul of all. And there's a picture of the ice rink. It's a nice big-sized ice rink with kids on it playing and laughing. You can just tell they're having a great time. Of course, it's completely surrounded by white snow. And the finalists for this year's contest, I've already seen three. Also Houston, Texas, Brooks, Georgia, Lake City, South Carolina, Littleton, New Hampshire, Austin Hills, Texas, Renton, Washington, and Sugar Land, Texas. Texas has three. Our area has three. A little bit south of us has one. The Northeast and the Midwest have two. And the Far West has one. Travel. Most unforgettable road trip. There's a lot to remember while driving across country. Buckle up, use your blinker, check your mirrors, but the number one rule of the road, as our readers will tell you, have some fun along the way. And there's a picture of a car driving down a country road, a little boy looking out the window at the cows at the barn. Rear window shopping. Every spring, my wife Leah and I make the 3-day pilgrimage to Sanibel, Idaho, in Florida from Grand Rapids, Michigan. My favorite parts of the drive are the farms, the blue sky and the trees just as they're coming into bloom. For Leah, it's the antique shops. Year after year, we swim with 100 yards of an antique shop, a flea market, or a garage sale. Her radar pings. Ding! Her eyes pop wide, and I hear those dreaded words. Let's stop for just a minute. On our last trip, she was asleep when I noticed a sign for a flea market. So I sped up, hoping to sneak past. I nearly got away with it. Then a voice from the passenger seat said, "Thought I didn't see that one, didn't you?" Cashing in a rain check. The heat was withering as we drove back to Iowa from camping in Montana. The temperature hit 97 degrees, so we rolled into a spearfish campground in South Dakota at around 5:30 a.m. to shower. The office was locked, but we figured we could find someone to pay after we used the facilities. But the camp slumbered on. Back on the farm, our crops suffered from 100-degree temperatures and lack of rain. It seemed every town but ours was getting soaked. Something else weighed on my husband's mind. One morning, I found him writing a check. "I've been feeling guilty about not paying that campground," Larry said. 4 dry days crawled by until a glorious sound shook us awake. It was raining buckets. I said, "Honey, I think your check just got the spearfish campground." Snap judgment. We were nearing the end of our 40-day Route 66 road trip when my wife and I arrived at Cool Springs, historic gas station museum gift shop in western Arizona, numbed by having stopped at every attraction along the way, and having already snapped 1,500 photos, we ask ourselves, do we really want another stop? We decide pause long enough for one more picture. Jenny rolled down her window and stuck out her camera. Just as she was about to press the shutter, the proprietor sitting on the porch pipe up and said, "The picture doesn't count unless you get out of the car." A ride to die for. Here was the challenge. Get myself and my groomsmen from Indiana, where we went to school, to California, where I was getting married, and do it on the cheap. We heard a company that recruited drivers to transport vehicles across the country, so we signed up. It was a great deal. We wouldn't pay a cent, and our vehicle was as stately as they come, a big black hearse. It was spooky at first, but by Nebraska we decided to have a little fun. Any time a car passed us, Al, lying in the back where the coffin should be, would slowly rise like Dracula come to life. Driving across the country can be tedious, but the hours flew by as we enjoyed the shock stares and double takes of our fellow travelers. A monumental request met. Our family took a road trip from Florida to Wyoming. My fondest memory was Mount Rushmore. Though it wasn't the monument that clutched my heart, magnificent as it is, it was a family pushing a gurney with a man on it, searching for the perfect viewing spot. Seeing the monument, I later learned, would tick off the last item on his bucket list. It was a moving sight, and I'll never forget the family who didn't feel it was too much to honor their loved one's last request. Just outside Somewhere, USA, driving through South Dakota, I was awestruck by just how much farmland there was. Acres upon acres of fields, hay bales, and cows as far as the eye could see. My 5-year-old son Adam had a slightly different perspective. "Wow," he said, "there sure is a lot of middle of nowhere out here." Making tea is the British response to every situation, from birthdays to bad news. But how did this small island come to drink so much tea? In America, tea has 2 primary associations. Iced, served on the southern porch on a sweltering day, we know that well. Or salty, giving some fish a caffeine boost at the bottom of Boston Harbor. In Britain, however, tea is inextricably woven into the fabric of everyday life. The proof is in the numbers. The British drink 100 million cups of tea every day. That's only 36 billion cups a year, divided among British men, women, and children. That's right, they start them young over there. For contrast, only about 70 million cups of coffee are drunk daily in Britain, and we bet they don't call it a cup of joe either. Tea for every occasion. Many Brits firmly believe that no task, from studying to data entry to putting up a shelf, can be accompanied without a good cuppa. Some even measure the length of the task by how many cups of tea are required to finish it. Painting a wall might take 3 cups, say, while researching for your thesis could be 5 plus. Tea is the default response to a myriad of situations. Waking up, shocking news, returning from a boozy night out, good news, breaking up, giving birth, meeting a friend, feeling uncomfortable, or feeling happy. How you take your tea indicates your social class, personality, and tribal affiliation. Make tea. It's what the Brits do instead of panicking. But the country that consumes its most tea annually is Turkey. Tea isn't even from Britain, so what gives? The history of tea drinking. In 1946, George Orwell wrote in the Evening Standard, "Tea is one of the mainstays of civilization in this country." Tea had been such for nearly 300 years, ever since Catherine of Braganza arrived in Portugal and married King Charles II, bringing with her a ritual daily of tea time. The other nobles followed suit, and the British East India Company began to import much more tea from its colonies in the Far East, where it had been grown and drunk for thousands of years. The price fell, and suddenly every Briton had a tea habit. Tea is one of the few experiences in Britain that cuts across social class divides, race, ethnicity, and income levels. The other is the weather. It also gives socially awkward Brits something to do with their hands. After centuries of ritual, the British identity is now at least 10% tea. But most cultures that drink tea, such as China, India, and Turkey, don't add milk. So why do the British? Tea is traditionally brewed in a pot and poured out individual cups. Most people, however, could not afford fine bone china, and the cups they have would often shatter under the heat of the boiling tea. Milk was therefore added first to the cups to lessen the heat of the hot tea and keep the cups intact. Many people apparently grew to like the taste, although some take their tea with sugar or lemon instead. In modern times, the milk-first issue is a hot topic. Friendships have even been lost over whether it's correct to add milk to your cup before the tea or after. But history and science both say before. Scientists note that cold milk poured into a hot tea heats unevenly and give that tea that awful skin on top. But so does social class. British anthropologist Kate Fox, author of Watching the English, notes that milk and tea also gives off social cues to Britain's all-important social class system. According to Fox, tea strength wanes as the social class gets nearer to the aristocracy. The strongest brews of black tea are drunk by the working class, who are then required to temper the bitter taste with plenty of milk and sugar to make a builder's tea. Taking sugar in your tea is regarded by many as an infallible lower-class indicator, Fox writes. So there you have it. Tea communicates a lot, from social standing to emotional state, which is useful for the British, who tend to be suspicious of emotional displays. just be nice to have a cup of tea instead. Queen Elizabeth probably doesn't take sugar in her tea. And if you've ever noticed, if you ever happen to watch any British programs, particularly detective shows, whenever they're interrogating somebody, they always have a cup of tea handy. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. Product update. Get a bigger TV for less. Many TVs are larger than ever with better screens, but it can still be tricky to find the best set at a great price. Jumbo, 75 to 85 inches. Very large sets may help immerse you in a movie, but they can overwhelm some rooms. They have high-resolution displays and connect to Wi-Fi. The big middle. These TV occupies the sweet. These are 55 to 65 inches. These TV occupy the sweet spot for most shoppers. The sets have high-resolution screens and connect directly to the Wi-Fi for streaming. Small, under 43 inches. Small sets usually don't have the newest technology, and you may need to buy an inexpensive device like a Roku streaming stick to watch services like MixFix. If you're shopping for a TV for the first time in a few years, you'll find a lot has changed. Large screen TVs are bigger than ever. You can find a number of 75-inch sets in our ratings now, and even a few 85-inch models, and the technology has improved. Your new TV will probably look better than any set you've owned before, with a more realistic, vibrant picture. But another thing for new that 2021 is that TV prices have gone up on some screen sizes for the first time in several years because of supply chain problems stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic. Industry analysts say that shoppers will need to work a bit harder this holiday shopping season to find great deals. Before you walk through the key decisions you'll have to make and a handful of tech terms you'll want to know to set a great set for your home, along the way, we offer strategies to get the best deals to the lead up, well, as we've already had Black Friday, but even throughout the holiday season. The best size. Remember when a 50-inch TV seemed gigantic? No longer. By the end of 2020, 65-inch models overtook 55-inch sets as the most common screen size consumers saw in stores, says Scott Peterson, senior analyst at the retail market research firm Gap Intelligence. These sets are sometimes seen next to TVs, even bigger 75 or 85-inch screens. All you need is some chewing gum stuck to your shoes to feel like you're at the local multiplex. Jumbo-sized televisions can provide an immersive experience, but bigger isn't always better. A lot depends on the layout of your room. If your sofa or chair is placed too close, a huge TV can be distracting, and a 75-inch model that looks fine on a living room wall might feel overwhelming in a small bedroom or office. One way to see whether you might like is to tape off the dimensions of a couple of TV sizes on a wall, or create cardboard cutouts. TV measures are given in diagonal screen measurements and don't include the bezel or frame, but you can look at a set specs to find the height and width. A typical 75-inch set is about 57 inches wide and 35 inches tall. You can also go to a store to get a sense of how big a certain set looks. Stand back about as far as you'll be at sitting at home. And if you buy a really big TV in a store, it may not fit in your car. So ask if the retailer will deliver it free and maybe even set it up. Many people also shop for small TVs, 32 inches or so, say for an office or a bedroom. Unlike bigger sets, some of the smallest models aren't smart TVs with built-in access to streaming services. That's not a big deal. You can always add a streaming media player, such as Chromecast or a Roku device, for as little as $40. Just make sure you choose a set with enough HDMI inputs to also connect a cable box or a game system if you'll be using them. Many smaller TVs have mediocre sound quality. That can be remedied by adding a sound bar or a wireless speaker. HDR HUD 4K. Decoding. When you shop for TVs either online or in a store, you'll notice under the terms 4K, UHD, and HDR pop up repeatedly. This jargon is important, and you should also know about what it means. Two of the terms, 4K and UHD, amount to the same thing. Technically speaking, there's a small difference, but not one to worry about. They both describe the TV screen's resolution, or how many pixels, aka dots, make up the picture. The more pixels generally mean sharper and more detailed image. Until a few years ago, many televisions were high definition or HD, with about 2 million pixels. That's certainly a big number, but most of today's sets have four times as many pixels. These 4K or ultra-high definition sets dominate the ranks of the midsize and big televisions. A huge 4K screen has the same number of pixels as a little 4K screen, but the bigger screen's pixels are also bigger. Nowadays, you'll find a lot of HD televisions only if you're shopping for a small set, say 43 inches or less, and that's just fine. To most people, a 4K set that size won't really look sharper than a plain HD TV. At the other end of the spectrum, you'll also see a few 8K TVs this year. They have nearly 33 million pixels and can produce very fine detailed images, but most people won't be able to see the difference between 4K and 8K unless they're watching a very large screen. So we don't think, page turn, getting an 8K TV makes sense unless it's 75 inches or bigger and you have a jumbo-sized budget too. These sets are really pricey right now. The third acronym, HDR, stands for High Dynamic Range. When a movie that's shot in HDR is shown on a high-performance television, you'll see brighter, more vivid images with greater contrast. They will look more like real life, from a nuanced shadows on the bricks in a darkened walkway to subtle shapes in a bank of bright clouds. You'll also see more realistic, spectacular highlights, such as the sun's reflection off a car's chrome bumper or an airplane wing. With HDR, those flashes of light really pop. HDR movies and TVs series are now easy to find on many streaming services, including Amazon Prime Video and Netflix. TVs with HDR typically produce more vibrant colors, too. That's because HDR is often paired with another TV feature called Wide Color Gamut, or WGC. WCG. But that's not an acronym you'll see too often. Think of it as giving your TV a larger box of crayons to play with. While regular HD TVs can display about 17 million colors, sets with WCG can display up to a billion. HDR can make a big difference in enjoyment of a TV, but there's a caveat with the technology. Consumer reports find that many TVs that do a fine job with the other aspects of picture quality fall down here. The benefits of HDR are often lost when you're watching these televisions, says Claudio Cacci, who heads our TV labs. That's one reason HDR performance has become a key differentiator among the TVs in our ratings. Decide between LCD and OLED. All televisions you see when shopping use one of two basic screen technologies, and yes, this means more jargon stamped on boxes and listed in ads. The two types are LCD TVs, which sometimes called LED TVs, and OLED TVs. First thing to know, there are cheap and expensive LCD sets, but there are no cheap OLEDs. These televisions usually start around $1,300 and climb steeply from there. Second, while OLED sets operate the very peaks of CRT TV ratings, the top-performing LCD TVs are also great, and they've been improving every year. So what's the difference between the technologies? In an OLED TV, every one of the millions of pixels produces its own light and can be turned on and off individually. That means the deepest shadow in a picture can remain completely dark, even if it's right next to a bright object. In TV parlance, OLEDs are said to have awesome black levels. In an LCD television, there's an LED backlight that shines behind the pixels, and the pixels essentially open and close to let in more light and less shine, though, through. When the pixels are closed, however, some light tends to bleed through, making dark parts of an image look more gray than black. On the other hand, LCD TVs tend to be brighter than OLEDs, a good thing if you're watching TV in a room with a lot of windows or other hard-to-block sources of ambient light. And LCDs are quite capable of producing excellent picture quality with vibrant colors and beautiful HDR performance. What's more, some of the top-performing LCDs are delivering much improved black levels these days. These sets tend to advertise the use of full-array backlights, meaning they have LEDs arranged across the entire back of the screen rather than just along the edges like the older, less expensive sets. That design is combined with a feature called local dimming, where the LEDs are divided into a dozen or more zones that can be illuminated or darkened separately. That can improve black levels on darker scenes. Some forward-looking sets take this concept to an extreme with mini LEDs, which are so small that the TV might have thousands of them crammed into a backlight, divided into many as 2,500 zones that can be lit up or darkened individually, that can improve black levels and contrast and reduce faint halos that can appear around bright objects on dark backgrounds. Right now, many LEDs are found mainly in pricier LCD sets, but they're starting to become more available in less expensive models from a few brands, including TCL. As a final distinction between the two screen types, OLEDs look equally vibrant from just about any angle. Their nearly unlimited viewing angle helps if you're sitting off to the side of a room because other people are hogging the couch. Most LCDs have more limited viewing angles, but some of the best are nearly as good as an OLED LED TV. How to decide which technology is best for you? An OLED is a great choice if you can pay a premium for a top-performing set and may need to watch from extreme angles. LCDs, on the other hand, can be much less expensive, offer a wider choice of brands and screen sizes, all small sets are LCDs, and can do somewhat better than OLEDs in rooms with a lot of ambient light. Save money on your next TV. Shoppers may find it challenging to sort great deals on TVs this holiday season, in part because prices are starting at unusually high levels. According to Paul Gagnon, senior director at Omida, a market research firm, that's because strong demand early in the year has left retailers with low levels of stock, and the COVID-19 pandemic has interfered with supply chains. There are sure to be some good deals out there, however. You just need to approach TV shopping season with a game plan. Look for deals early. It's always tough to decide whether to jump on great-looking deals during the lead-up to Black Friday or wait until mid-December when retailers may cut prices even more on some of the remaining models. This year, Scott Peterson, senior analyst at Gap Intelligence, a retail market research firm, recommends jumping on early promotions. I don't think merchants will be holding out, he says. They actively want to give shoppers reason to get an early head start, and if they're successful there, it could be shortages later. But not all experts agree. It's a volatile year, and if you decide to wait, prices could fall even further in December, especially if retailers don't sell as much in November as they hope. Use websites and apps. Sites such as Price Grabber and ShopZilla, as well as smartphone apps such as ShopKick and ShopSavvy, can help you compare prices, get coupons, and score deals. Get social. Retailers promote special deals for their followers on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Click like on their post, and retailers might respond with alerts about special discounts and incentives. In exchange, expect a privacy trade-off. Your clicks and likes on social media are recorded for ad targeting. Check store policies. Make use of price match guarantees in which retailers promise to meet the prices of many of their competitors. But check the policies ahead of time. Guarantees don't always apply to all items during the Black Friday weekend. Also, review return and exchange policies on Black Friday sale items to make sure you won't be turned away or charge a restocking fee if you take something back. And I think that applies all the time, not just Black Friday. More jargon to know. Contrast ratio. The ratio between the brightest and darkest shades on a TV can display. Higher contrast ratios are always better. Refresh rates. How frequently a TV updates an image. Most sets are 60 hertz. They refresh 60 times a second. Sets working 120Hz can produce less blurring during fast-moving scenes. Mini LED, a new type of LCD backlight that uses ultra-small LEDs divided into thousands of precisely controlled zones for better black levels and contrast. Micro LED, these LEDs are even tinier than the mini LEDs. Each micro LED operates as a pixel, just like an old LED. For now, micro-LEDs are next-gen tech that's prohibitively expensive. Quantum dots. In brief, quantum dots are used in some LCD TVs, often called QLEDs, to produce rich colors even at high brightness level. That's tricky to do. And 70-inch and larger TVs ranking. LG OLED 77 at $3,500 gets an 84. The Samsung QN75 gets an 82 at $2,800, and the Samsung QN75 90A gets at $3,300 gets an 82. All of these sets, the cheapest being the TCL at $1,815, score fairly high. 65-inch TVs, Sony's $3,800 is the most expensive, and the prices range from $1,400 to $3,800, and they get as low as $700, but you're getting down there where the quality isn't that good. 50 to 60, Sony's 55A is $2,800. Sony's XR55A8 is $1,700. So you're looking at prices there ranging all the way down to a smaller Sony that only gets a 61 rating at $700. So you can see that there's a wide range of price differences on these things. Your home revival guide. It has been a long haul for you and your home during the pandemic, but through of all, you've also learned a lot, and our appreciation for our homes has never been greater. Whether you like it or not, you might still find yourself spending more time at home than normal this winter. But this time, you and your home will be ready. We have top-rated products that have proved their worth during these trying times. Plus, we offer expert advice on performing essential safety checks, making the most of the space you have, and prepping your home for whatever comes next. And we got a whole bunch of these. We probably won't finish them all, but we'll finish them up next week. Secure the perimeter. Buffer windows and doors. To identify drafts that drive up heating bills, look for damage to the rubber or foam gaskets around the doors and gently shake windows. A rattling sound or light coming through edges indicate leaky gaps, says John Galatafore, CR's leading product tester. Seal gaps using caulk or weather stripping. If you have thin, single-pane windows, install glass storm windows, which slow down heat loss and reduce air leaks, but cost less than upgrading to thick, double-pane windows. They're great for renters because some can be put in interior of windows. Get rid of leaves. Jam gutters overflow, causing water to seep into your house. You can buy a curved nozzle attachment, $20 for most leaf blowers, that lets you blow the leaves out of gutters from the ground, making the task quicker and safer. Also considering installing a plastic mesh gutter guard for about $5 for 20 feet to keep the debris out. Be your own watchdog. Installing do-it-yourself security system can help give you a peace of mind for your whole home. We recommend the Adobe kit. It has store and window sensors, a motion detector, and a key fob to control it all. But if you need to cover just one dark entrance, consider buying a motion-detecting LED floodlight camera, such as the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight camera for $250. In addition to illuminating dark areas at night, the Arlo has a built-in siren that could potentially scare off intruders, says CR home editor Dan Rokolowski. Plus, installation is quick and easy because it doesn't need to be hardwired like many other cameras, shaving off at least 45 minutes in setup time. Clear the air. Breathe easier. Swap out FEMSI filters in your heating, ventilating, and air conditioning system. Use filter with at least a MERV 10 rating, such as AprilAir. They provide high filtration of fine particles such as smoke. On days with poor air quality, shut the windows, turn the HVAC fan on to filter the air. If you don't have a ventilation system, buy a portable air purifier with a HEPA filter. We find that large models for 350 square feet or more are often the best filtering smoke. Fend off mold. Place a dehumidifier in a muggy basement or a laundry room to keep humidity levels between 30 and 50% and allergy-triggering mold at bay. Honeywell at left is a big to remove as much as 50 pints of water per day. Clean your humidifier if you spot mildew, and that Honeywell mildew thing is $300. Stay ahead of storms. Power up. Don't wait until days before a storm to buy a portable generator. Models might be in short supply then. A typical house needs one with about 5,000 watts. Make sure you have enough stabilized gasoline to last for at least 24 hours. Larger portable generators can use up to 20 gallons per day. If you live in a condo, you may want a portable power station, a large battery that stores electricity. It's very costable, but the only type of generator that can be safely used inside. The best model in our test, a Goal Zero Yeti 3000, powers a fridge for 44 hours on one charge. Protect pipes. Burst pipes are one of the most common causes of property damage, and I'll testify to that. Can easily cause 5,000 or more water damage. The pipes most at risk are those in an unheated interior spaces, such as basements, where 37% of bursts occur, attics and garages. Cover pipes yourself with foam insulating tubes for as little as 33 cents per foot. On extremely cold days, open cabinet doors that are on along the outside walls. This allows heat from the house to get further towards the piping. Strategize snow removal. Even if you have a snowblower, lay down a thin layer of ice melt before a storm and again during the storm to make removal easier. If you don't get much snow, try a battery-powered snow shovel such as Greenworks, which has a spinning auger to discharge snow, a worthy upgrade from a cheap plastic snow shovel and easier to store than a blower. And they show it is really kind of cool. It looks like a big mop with a solid end and a handle, a long handle. It's $300. That's a lot more than a plan. How to hit refresh. There's been so much wear and tear on the stuff we've been using all day long. Here's how to brighten some things up and replace what has seen a better day. Utility rooms. Refresh key kitchen filters. Keep your tap water crisp and clear by replacing your filter, whether you use a carafe, the refrigerator dispenser, or an under-sink unit to filter your water. If you have a range hood and or over-the-range microwave, soak the filter in hot soapy water at least every 2 months to remove grease and other flammable debris. Some dishwashers also have a filter that needs to be cleaned every few months. trick out your toilet, give your bathroom Lux a Lux makeover for a few hundred dollars by installing a bidet seat on an existing toilet. A spray wand on the seat cleanses your undercarriage, reducing the need for toilet paper. Many electric models, including the Brondell, heap up the seat in water comforts you'll appreciate on cold mornings. Some even have a heated air dryer. Give the laundry room some TLC. Minimize mold in the washer by cleaning it once a month. Run an empty load at the hottest setting with a bleach-based washer cleaner. On a front loader, gently pull back the gasket to wipe away residue. Regularly clean the drain pump filter if it's accessible. Clean out lint buildup in and around your dryer duct to prevent fires. Unplug the dryer and disconnect the duct. Use a dryer duct brush to remove lint and vacuum it up using a hose and crevice attachment. A $15 lint lizard extension tube attaches to the hose on a vac, such as a Kenmore, on the facing on the, and tunnels into the duct, making the task easy. Living in working spaces. Optimize your TV picture. TVs have a lot of menu presets, such as vivid, sports, and dynamic, but those tend to increase or reduce the TV's brightness and colors too dramatically. It might not give you the best picture for your favorite fall shows and football games. Use CR's free TV screen optimizer at cr.org/TV1121, which has lab-tested picture settings for specific TV models. Need a new TV? Turn to our product update page, which we just did. Boost sound quality. Add oomph for your TV's audio by hooking up a soundbar, placing it above or below your TV. Advanced models offer surround sound and integral access to streaming music devices. But even a basic model with a good score in our testing is often better than a TV's built-in speakers. Declutter your desk. A tidy work-from-home desk could save your sanity. Wrangle tangled cords using a cable sleeve or adhesive cord holders around $10 online, or simply use twist ties to group cords together. And as we all do more online, from banking to buying groceries, invest in a password manager to auto-generate and store a different strong password for each of your accounts. Every room. Regulate temperatures. When you're home in the winter, set your thermostat to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. When you're asleep or away, keep it 7 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit lower to maximize heating bill savings. And if you don't have a smart thermostat, such as a Honeywell, install one to remotely control your HVAC system. Setting a schedule can save you around $83 per year on energy. Another cool trick, set fans so the blades rotate clockwise. Do this by flicking a switch on the housing or via remote. Run the fan on slow speed to pull up cool air from the room, which sends the warm air that collects near the ceiling back down where it's needed. Repaint dull walls. One of the least expensive improvements you can make to any room is a new coat of paint. Even if your refresh budget is small or you're in a rental, painting an accent wall in a room can make your home feel fresh again, says Rico De Paz, who runs the Consumer Reports paint lab. A top-rated paint will also cover old stains and prevent new ones from soaking in. Get smart with lighting. Smart light bulbs, such as those from Sync by GE Lighting, start around $10. They can be controlled remotely via an app or a digital assistant. You can set all the lights in your home to turn on and off with your security system, or just custom light color and brightness for different rooms. And they have a Brondell Swash bidet seat for $600. They have a password for a family thingy to change your password for $60. The Honeywell Home T9 remote thermostat is $170. And three ways to degunk a dirty appliance. Hanging at home for three meals a day every day creates more dirty dishes, which means your dishwasher might be the worst for wear. It's time to show this workhorse some love. Every few months, use a damp rag to wipe the seal between the door and the tub, where residue and food collects and cause odors. As needed, remove hard water residue on the inside of the dishwasher with a dishwasher cleaner, such as A-Fresh or Finish. Once a year, gently use a pipe cleaner to unclog the holes in the washer arms. Check your manual for how to remove them. A few easy additions can help you get more use out of the square footage you have, whether you live in an apartment or a sprawling house. Get started with the essentials. If you have a larger area or budget, consider a few key extras that will boost the enjoyment and utility of your space. Personal gym. Create your own. If you're not ready to head back to a public gym, you can set up a satisfying home workout space in any room or nook with just a few key items. In an apartment, place your exercise on map of rug to help protect your knees, as well as your relationship with the downstairs neighbors. Add a large mirror lets you check your posture, and adjust tablet stand is a boon for virtual caches. And essentials, you can buy a Schwinn exercise bike for $1,000, Flybird adjustable dumbbells for $140 each, a yoga mat for $75, and a mirror is a Neurotype full-length mirror for $130, or a table stand for $80. Home office. It might be time to make a temporary home office more permanent. Whether you're in a dedicated study or the corner or bedroom, your priority should make an ergonomic setup. These tools make sure each body part is in its right place, including forearms parallel to the ground while typing, straight wrist, eyes looking straight ahead, and ears well buffered from noise and distractions. AOS ProCart monitor for $230, an Adese mouse for $40 on ergonomics, a Kinesis Freestyle keyboard for $90, headphones, Sennheiser PX8 noise-canceling headphones for $160, and Jarvis Bamboo adjustable standing and sitting desk for $570. And extend the seasonal use of your backyard or balcony by making an extension of your living room. An easy-to-install Wi-Fi extender ensures that you can stream music to a waterproof wireless speaker while reclined in your lounge chair. Timed lighting, enabled by an integrated smart plug, can beckon you to step for fresh air at sunset. A few plants and a heater make your oasis extra inviting. IKEA Cloven deck chair for $100. Anchor Sound Core for Rave NEO for $110. Wi-Fi extender Nightgear NetHawk, $90 to $140. And a bonus buy is a Dynaglow round patio heater for $175. TP-Link Classes R Smart Door Outdoor Plug for $30. And Bloomscape Parlor Palm for $80. And a couple quick jokes. What do dentists call their x-rays? Toothpicks. Did you hear about the first restaurant to open on the moon? It had great food, but no atmosphere. What did one ocean say to the other ocean? Nothing. It just waved. Do you want to hear a construction joke? Sorry, I'm still working on it. Did you hear about the fire at the circus? It was intense. Why do ducks have feather? To cover their butt cracks. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? One is really heavy, and the other is a little lighter. What does nosy pepper do? It's jalapeno your business. That's terrible. Why should you never trust stairs? They're always up to something. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time. Thanks so much for listening.